Acts chapter 17. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Bible, and if you're physically able, we're going to begin in verse 22. We'll read responsively. I threw a curveball at you last week. I had you read the odd verses with me, but I'll let you go back to the even verses out loud with me, and I'll read the odd verses all by my little lonesome self, and we'll do it that way today. Beginning in verse 22 altogether, here in Acts chapter 17. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom ye therefore ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commendeth that all... Because he hath appointed a day, in the which he will judge the world in righteousness, by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, We will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysus the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them." Here we are in Acts chapter 17. Now you say, "Pastor, I know what's happening here. You have gone through being the pastor now for 2.5 years, and you've run out of material. So you're going to start re-preaching the messages that you've already preached." No, that's not true. It's not. You say, "But you've preached from this passage of scripture before, and you've mentioned it many times." Yeah, because it's a really cool story. But we're going to look at something that we have not looked at just yet in an extended period of time. You say, "How long is that going to take?" Well, I don't know. Maybe about 21 minutes. I'm not sure. I hope. We'll see. I don't know. We'll try to make it out. But here's the thing I want you to look at. Look at what Paul says here as he is there in Athens. And he's kind of at this point in time of his ministry, he is escaping persecution once again. All right. So his partners send him on the ship there. They stay behind to grow the church and to disciple the people there while he escapes for his life. Okay? So he's here in Athens. He ends up there and he's walking around doing some souvenir shopping, doing some sightseeing and things like that. And I want you to look at what Paul notices. Look at verse 22. It says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said to the men, you men of Athens, I perceive that you are too superstitious." So Paul noticed some things about these people, that they were superstitious and that they had all these gods and they had all these things and these different forms of worship and such and so forth. And he goes on in verse 23. He says, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. So he said, hey, I noticed your devotions, and I saw that you worship this God and by this name and with this little statue. And I noticed that you worship this God by this name, and there was this method of worship for this God. And I noticed these things, and he said, I perceive by going through your markets, and I saw all the trinkets being sold, and I saw all these different things, and I saw as I walked by your houses that you had these little dangly things hanging over here, and these little groves carved out, or these people bringing flowers or fruit gifts to this God or that God. He said, I perceive that you're too superstitious. He said, and then I noticed you had this stone or this thing. Maybe it was just a rock. Maybe it was just a flat spot on the ground with no gifts or nobody really praying to it or no decorations or no statues. Perhaps it just had an inscription that said to the unknown God. And he said, really, really, guys, this is what really made me understand that you're too superstitious, because you don't want to leave any God out. You're so superstitious. You say, well, maybe there's a God that we don't even know about that we should be worshiping. So we're just going to include him as a catch-all here. We're gonna put it, make sure we put this down so that we don't offend. We don't want to offend any God. You say, where did the Athenians and these Grecians get this idea from? Folks, they had been conquering a bunch of different countries. And in these different countries that they have conquered, and that they've marched armies to or sailed boats to and taken by force, they also took their gods in and their shelter and their cultures and things. And so they had experienced, oh, these people worship this God, and these people worship this God, and these people worship this God, and this. And so they had gathered all these things from their conquests. And they said, hey, we're superstitious. We don't want to offend any God. So we're just going to make an inscription to the unknown God. We've talked about some of these things before, but I've never really focused in on this one thing, and this just hit me as I was reading through this. Look at what Paul says next. Whom, therefore, ye ignorantly worship. Today I want to focus in on the ignorance of man. The ignorance of man. You know, I think it would be fair to say that in some ways, Americans ignorantly worship God. I think it's fair to say. Could I step out on just a little bit of a limb? That today, Christians ignorantly worship God. Can I step out a little further on the limb? Some Baptists ignorantly worship God. Ignorance is one of those things that mankind is plagued with. You know why? Because we're cursed. We're not a perfect being. Man was perfect in the garden. Was he not? Created in the image of God, a perfect being. And then what happened? That old devil. He came in and he said, oh, Eve, I've got a deal for you. Ye shall be as gods. Did God really say the things that he said? Did God really do that? You know, God just didn't want you to know the whole story. Go ahead. You'll be enlightened. That's what ignorance means. Destitute of knowledge. Uninstructed. Uninformed. Untaught. Unenlightened. Satan said to Eve, Eve, you're ignorant. You're ignorant, Eve. You don't know. God has kept back from you some things. He's not enlightened you about what you can have if you'll eat this fruit. Now, was that true? No. God told them exactly what would happen if they ate the fruit. Ye shall surely die. And that's exactly what happened. Was it not? Yeah. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, therefore death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The ignorance of mankind is a plague that we have had since the fall. You understand, folks, that we've got to understand, we need to be enlightened. We are oftentimes ignorantly worshiping God. Even as Christians, even as believers. You say, what kind of sets you off on this? Folks, listen to me. How many different kinds of churches did you drive by to get here today? Huh? You've heard me say before, things that are different cannot be the same. How many? Half a dozen? A dozen? More? Listen, I'm just telling you, folks, we're ignorant. We're destitute of knowledge, uninstructed, uninformed, untaught, unenlightened about these things. As a general rule, man is ignorant of God. Do we really know God? Do we really know of God? Do we really know this God whom Paul was trying to declare to the Athenians? He said, hey, this unknown God, him declare I unto you. I'm going to tell you about this God. I'm going to tell you about things of God. Hey, listen, folks. Let me get back on track. I was chasing a rabbit and I lost him for a second, but I found him. All those churches you pass by, they think they know how to worship God. I'm going to tell you, we know how to worship God. Can I tell you why they don't know how to worship God? Because things that are different cannot be the same. How many different ways do you suppose God wants to be worshipped? Maybe one? In spirit and truth. That's what the word says. You know what? Most of these churches today, it's not about worshipping God. It's about worshipping man. Self. They want to be entertained. They come out with their hands saying, God, what are you going to have for me today? Give me, give me, give me. That's not worshipping God. And people worship God ignorantly. You know what? God doesn't want us to be ignorant. He wants us to have knowledge. He wants us to be enlightened. He wants us to be informed. Hello? God has given us His Word so that we can know Him and that we can worship Him in spirit and in truth. Thy Word is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's the light. This book is light. It shines in the darkness. It guides our feet. It guides our path. It shows us who God is, how He wants to be worshipped. And we do not have to be ignorant about God. In Romans chapter 1, Paul writes and says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding. What does that mean? Uninstructed, uninformed, unenlightened, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. But what do? They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. You know, some people today are purposely ignorant of God. They don't want to know God. They don't want to know about God. They don't want to think about God. They don't want to hear about God or anything. If you've ever knocked on a door and talked to somebody, you've met somebody like this. And there'll be people, even this last week, I knock on the door and I said, "Hey, my name's Pastor Combs. I'm from Lighthouse Baptist Church." "Oh, I'm not interested." "Well, would you just take a gospel tract?" "Nope, don't want it." They're not interested. They want to be ignorant of God. They don't want to know about Him. They don't want to be enlightened. They don't want to be informed. They just want to be left alone. Oh, woe to those folks. What a shame. At least the people that Paul was talking to here at least gave him an audience. But you know what? Some mocked. Some mocked. Some said, "We'll hear you again. This is kind of interesting. I could take a round two." And then some said, "Wow, where has this been all my life? I need this." And they believed. In Job chapter 21, Job records about the wicked. It says, "Wherefore do the wicked live and become old? Yea, are in mighty power. Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear. Neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bull gendereth and faileth not. Their cow calveth and casteth not her calf. And they send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take the timbrel and harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, 'Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways.' What is the Almighty that we should serve Him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto Him?" Is that not the attitude of most in this world? They're like, "Hey, life is life. Life is fine. What do I need God for? Or what do I need a God for? What's in it for me?" They're ignorant of God. In John chapter 8, Jesus speaking, says they said unto him, he's being asked a question. They said unto him, "Where is thy father?" Jesus answered, "Ye neither know me nor my father." Now he's talking to Pharisees here. He's talking to the religious crowd. He's talking to the ones that are supposed to know the God of Israel. He's proving their ignorance here. He says, "Ye neither know me nor my father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also." These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, "I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." Then said the Jews, "Will he kill himself, because he saith, 'Whither I go, ye cannot come'?" And he said unto them, "Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou?" These guys are dense, aren't they? They just don't get it, do they? They're what? Ignorant. They're ignorant. Jesus saith unto them, "Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father." Folks, listen to me. These were the religious crowd. These were not the, if you will, the wicked. The heathen, the unlearned, the uneducated, these are the ones that were supposed to know God. Yet they did not know God. Folks, religion today says they have all the answers. But can I tell you something? They're ignorant of God. They're ignorant. They're unlearned. They're unenlightened. Jesus looked at him and said, hey, you should know me. And if you did, you'd know the Father too. In Judges chapter 2, the Bible tells us of a sad state of history for God's people. Again, the people that were supposed to know God. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man to his inheritance and possessed the land. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the side of the hill Gaash. And also that all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, the gods of the people which were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. This next generation didn't know. They were untaught. They were unenlightened. They were uninstructed about God. What were they? Ignorant. Can I tell you something, folks? It only takes one generation. It only takes one generation. We can play this card both ways, can't we? It only takes one generation for a family that never has followed Christ to follow Christ. Isn't that wonderful? And then that can be passed on from next to next to next to next to next. But on the other side, it only takes one generation to lose it all too. To forget it all. Deuteronomy, it tells the people to pass it on. From the fathers to the children, and the children to the grandchildren, and the grandchildren to their children, such and so forth. Why? So they won't forget God. Oh, Joshua did a great service for the people of God. They served the Lord during the days of Joshua. And Joshua taught the ones that would outlive him the things. But guess what that generation failed to do? Pass it on to the next generation. That's why it's so important for us to be witnesses and to tell people, look, this is just how it is. Don't be ignorant. In Psalm 14, David said this, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear. For God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. You know what that describes? That describes the ignorance of mankind toward God. Did you know that we just celebrated National Atheist Day? We did. April 1st. April Fool's Day. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's the state of mankind, folks. And may I extend, unfortunately, that's the state of Christianity today. Not only is the world ignorantly worshiping God, that's expected. That's expected. For the lost not to seek after God. Not to want to know about God. Built up with sin and pride and arrogancy. Not wanting to know God. For fear of judgment, perhaps. But listen, for Christians to be ignorant of God, what excuse is there? None. We ought to know Him. We ought to want to know Him. We ought to want to know about Him more and more. To seek His face. To seek His ways. To be enlightened by getting our nose in the book. That's what we need. You see, how did you just cover up your mouth with the Bible and still talk? Well, there's a little microphone right here. But we ought to want to know Him. Search out these things. Don't just say, oh, you know what? I'm going to heaven. I'm good. I want to stay ignorant because I don't want to change my lifestyle. Ugh. What a way to live. That's not a way to live. We ought to want to be conformed to the image of Christ. Day by day. Revealing the truth of the Word of God in our lives so that we are no longer ignorant. In Romans chapter 1 verse 18, the Bible says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Can I tell you something, folks? There's no excuse to be ignorant. Those of you men that were, and maybe ladies, that were in the military. When I went to boot camp, they gave me this book. Still have it in my library. It's about this thick. And for us in the Navy, it was called the Blue Jackets Manual. It's a uniform code of military justice and all the rules. And I'm telling you, that thing was like 600 pages. It's ridiculous. How am I supposed to learn that the first day of boot camp? You know, how am I supposed to learn that in a lifetime? But you know what they told us in the military? All you military guys can vouch for this. Ignorance is no excuse. You know what God says? Ignorance is no excuse. No excuse. He says the things in creation are clearly seen. God's made them manifest, and it doesn't matter if you're ignorant. You're without excuse. Another thing I see in Scripture, not only are we ignorant of God, but we're really ignorant of sin. Let me just illustrate. Why do we lie? All of us do it. To some degree. Right? Why do we lie? Because we really don't think that God's going to judge us for it. That's really why we do. If we really believed in the judgment of God and the penalty of sin, would we lie? I don't think we would. We're really ignorant. We're not supposed to be ignorant. We're supposed to know that we're no longer to live in the flesh, but live in the Spirit. We're supposed to be honest, upright, holy, pure, righteous, etc., etc., etc. But what do we divert back to over and over again? The natural man. The carnal man. Folks, we're not supposed to be ignorant of sin, but yet we are. We're ignorant of the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. He said, but pastor, that sin brings me pleasure. Yeah. Yeah, it does. For a season. But the end is death. The end is misery. And you know what the devil wants? The devil wants you to stay ignorant of sin. He wants you to stay ignorant of the causes of sin. He wants you to stay ignorant of what happens when we sin against a holy, holy, holy God. You know what sin does? Sin keeps you longer than you intended to stay. Sin costs you more than you intended to pay. Why? Because we're ignorant of it. We're ignorant of it. But guess what? We're not supposed to be, because God's word tells us all about sin. And it tells us all about the devil. Remember over in 1 Corinthians and in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul writes and says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. I'm not going to re-preach the series that I preached about the devices of the devil, the wiles of the devil. God told his people about sin. Even this is interesting. Even in Leviticus, upwards of a dozen times, God mentions something called the sin through ignorance. This is one excerpt in Leviticus 4 and verse 13 and 14. It says, and if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, God says, that's okay. You did it ignorantly. I won't charge you for this one. You get a mulligan, a freebie, a get out of jail free card, because you did it ignorantly. Do you think that's what God did? Uh-uh. Listen to this. If the whole of the congregation of Israel sinned through ignorance, the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning the things which should not be done, and are guilty. You're saying, pastor, even ignorant sin is guilt? Is guilty? Yes. When the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin, and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation. Folks, listen to me. Ignorance is no excuse. You're without excuse. Of what? Of sin. It's against God. You say, well, I didn't know that was a sin. Well, if it's known unto you, then sacrifice. Confess your sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't be ignorant of sin, the judgment of sin, the way of sin, the things of sin. Be not ignorant of his devices. In Ephesians 4, the Bible says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Folks, we as believers are not to be ignorant to sin. We're not to be ignorant of the devices of the devil that cause us to sin. Hey, listen to this. We need to gird up the loins of our mind. Be sober. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. We used to be ignorant about sin before Jesus Christ, but now we know. So guess what? No excuse. Don't be ignorant of sin. Don't be ignorant of what sin causes. In James chapter 1, the Bible says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. But when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You know, Paul could have ended there. I'm sorry, James could have ended there with that saying and just stopped there. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And that would have been okay. But he added one more sentence, one more commendation, one more word of encouragement. He said, do not err, my beloved brethren. He said, don't be ignorant. Don't be fooled. Don't be unlearned. Don't be unenlightened about sin. It'll get you in the end. What does the Bible say? Be sure your sin will find you out. Now, in closing, not only are we ignorant of God, on both sides, lost and saved. Not only ignorant of sin, on both sides, lost and saved. But can I tell you something? In our world today, there's a great ignorance of salvation. What does it take to be saved? Even in religious circles, there's arguments about this. Differences of opinion, per se. Or philosophy, or theology, or whatever you want to call it. Can I tell you something? God does not want us to be ignorant of salvation. There's only one way to heaven, folks. And don't you dare let anybody else convince you otherwise. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus said, I am the way. That's singular. All you English teachers should rejoice that I used English correctly and am not upset at it for a moment. The way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Can I tell you something? Good works does not save you. Being religious does not save you. Baptism does not save you. Paying money or praying prayers does not save you. A church doesn't save you. Any other religion or God does not, cannot save you. It is only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we can have salvation. People, some people are ignorant concerning salvation. Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. He explains to him that in order to be saved, in order to be born again, in order to see the kingdom of God, he must be born again. As they're going through that conversation, Jesus asks him and says, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? He says, Nicodemus, you're supposed to know. You're ignorant? You don't understand salvation? Folks, it's amazing that even Christians today, so-called, don't understand salvation through Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4, the disciples were preaching and says, be it known unto you all and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know what the religious people thought? They thought, huh, what do they know? You say, how do you know they said that? Because listen to what they said next. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. So the ones that were actually ignorant thought that the ones that were telling the truth and they were enlightened were ignorant. That's what they think of us. That know the truth, that have been enlightened. Have you received Christ as your Savior? Do you know salvation? Does the Spirit of God bear witness with your spirit that you are the child of God? If so, You're not ignorant. You're enlightened. You've been taught. And guess what they're going to say? You're ignorant. But we're not ignorant in Jesus Christ. These Pharisees, they brought him in and they said, okay, no, you can no longer speak or teach the name of Jesus. They chose to remain ignorant about salvation. There are some today, they don't want to know the truth. But we that have the truth need to make sure we're the ones trying to reverse the ignorance of mankind. Who are you trying to teach? Last I checked, the Great Commission told us to go and to teach all nations. To preach the gospel to every creature. To be a witness about God, about sin, about salvation to all creatures. Today, maybe you're under the sound of my voice. And you're not ignorant about God. You're not ignorant about sin. You're not ignorant about salvation. You know, my recommendation and my encouragement and admonishment to you today is, preach the gospel to every creature. Shine the truth of God in your life to the lost. Every moment that you have breath, every time you have opportunity, showing them the truth, the knowledge, the information, what's necessary, the instruction that they need to not be ignorant of God. Then today, maybe in some of these cases, you are a little bit ignorant of some of these things. And maybe there's some here today that are completely ignorant. Can I tell you something? You've just been shown the truth. You've just been directed to Jesus Christ. God wishes that none should perish, but that all come to repentance. You can come to Him today. You can trust Him today. You can have salvation today. And you could be enlightened of the truth of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.